It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In the dispensation of law, the Ten Commandments were given. Now, the Ten Commandments, let me remind you, was not given to save people, but to bring a person to the knowledge of realization that they are sinners, that there is a need of a Savior. Well, there is a penalty for breaking the law of God. When God's laws are broken, there's a penalty that must be paid. In Exodus chapter 21, and this is the chapter which immediately follows the chapter containing the Ten Commandments, we see in that chapter of chapter 21, verses 12, 15, 16, and 17, where they state the penalty or the punishment to be imposed on lawbreakers. The penalty? What is the penalty? Well, the penalty is death. Now, we see in the Bible and throughout history that Israel's disobedience to God's law has been followed by God's judgment. In other words, his curses. As he said in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15, it says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Well, this is exactly what happened to the nation Israel. The many curses that we read about in Deuteronomy 28, verses 16 through 26, they've actually happened to this nation. Notice, let's look at three of Israel's curses that came upon them because they broke God's law. We see Israel's penalty as we study his word. God's word tells us about penalties. Well, I see, first of all, the penalty. First penalty that I look at here is the Assyrian captivity. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. The 10 northern tribes of Israel were carried away captive by the mighty Assyrian army." Now, what I've just read is a curse that came upon Israel. Now, the reason for this curse is found in 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 7. It says, "For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods." Well, now, there's another penalty that came upon Israel, and that penalty we see is the Babylonian captivity. In 605, the Assyrian Empire was defeated, and the southern kingdom of Judah was carried away captive by the mighty Babylonian army, and the temple was destroyed in 586 B.C. Now, the reason for this judgment we read of in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 14 through 17. This is the reason they were carried away by the Babylonians. It says, "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought them upon the king of the Chaldees." and this would be the Babylonians, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. Well, that is a penalty for breaking God's law, and we read about that once again, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 14 through 17. And that's the reason that the penalty of the Babylonian captivity came upon Israel. Well, there's one more penalty that I'd like to look at concerning Israel. And this is the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD, and this was by Titus. The city of Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans, and the Jews were dispersed and scattered throughout the world. Well, we read of this once again in the Word of God as a prophecy of the Lord, of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 38, Jesus said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." We keep reading in Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not one be left here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down." Now there's a reason for this judgment that Jesus predicted that the temple would be completely destroyed. The reason for this is found in Matthew 23 and verse 37. It says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Matthew chapter 27, verses 23 through 25, it says, "And the governor said, What evil hath he done?" Now this is speaking of Jesus Christ. This governor saying, what evil has Jesus done? It continues in chapter 27, verse 23 of Matthew, where it says, "But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." John chapter 1, verse 11, a sad verse. It says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Curses came upon Israel because of their disobedience to God, because of them shaking their fists in the face of God and turning down their Savior, their Messiah, Jesus Christ. Well, notice there is a penalty for lawbreakers. We read about this in several instances, in several places in the Word of God. But I'd like for us to look in Romans chapter 1. As lawbreakers, God's curse is upon us, upon the people, people who live right now. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 through 31, it says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." Verse 31 of Romans 1 goes on to say, "Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." Let me ask you a question. Are you guilty of any of the sins that I just mentioned that's listed in these verses? In Romans chapter 1, verse 32, we learn that there is a penalty for this, for breaking God's law. It says, "They which commit such things are worthy of death." Now, we learned the same thing in Romans 6, 23. It says, "The wages of sin is death." Lawbreakers, that's sinners, deserve death. The penalty for breaking God's law is death, and death means separation from God and punishment by God. Guilty lawbreakers deserve the death penalty. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Matthew 25:41 says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Matthew 25:46, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, we learn that guilty lawbreakers are under God's curse. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Well, this verse is saying that those who do not perfectly obey the law are under God's curse. Well, there's a problem. It is impossible for sinful men and women to keep God's holy law perfectly. We've all sinned and come short of doing what God's holy law requires. Blessing is out of the reach of sinful men. Remember, as lawbreakers, God's curse is upon us. Once a man realizes he is a lawbreaker, the cry goes out, "Is there any hope?" Well, there's good news. Christ died for lawbreakers. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Christ was made a curse for us. He died to pay sin's penalty. He died for me. He died for you. Once again, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." This verse is saying that those who do not perfectly obey the law are under God's curse. Once again, Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." This verse is saying that Christ died to pay sin's penalty for me, for you. Galatians 3:9, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Galatians 3:14, "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." This verse is saying saved people are blessed as Abraham was, and the blessing is through Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to fall on your face today. "Oh God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for coming to die for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank you that I've trusted you as my Lord and Savior. I will live for you, Lord. I want to serve you more today than I did yesterday." And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you too need to fall on your face today and say, "Oh God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But Jesus Christ came. He died for me on the cross of Calvary. Please forgive me of my sin. Please come into my heart. I repent, Lord, of my sin. I repent, Lord, that I know I can't save myself, and I'm going to go your way from now on, and that way is through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Come into my heart." Now, let me say this. If you pray a prayer like that, God will save you. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Mean it in your heart, and God will save you right now. Lord, let me go.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.